Welcome to the Instagram Stories for Friday, December 19th. I'm your host, Daniel Hill, and this is the weekend edition. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Instagram implementing a limit of 5 hashtags per post. We'll also talk about TikTok being sold off, which companies are going to be majority owners of TikTok going forward, and we'll hear the head of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, as he gives his take on what TikTok has done really well and where they've faltered. We'll also hear from Lauren, the program manager at the YouTube Creator Insider team, who talks about some of the updates that the YouTube team has been working on, including voice replies. YouTube Create app is finally going to be available on iOS, and Google's AI tool Nano Banana coming to YouTube posts. All of that plus more on today's episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Let's start with the Instagram news. The head of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, posted in his broadcast channel yesterday, hashtag update. We're now capping hashtags at 5 per post. While I know it can be tempting to use more, a few specific tags actually perform better than a long list of generic ones. Quality over quantity is key. He goes on to say, quick reminder, while hashtags help with search, they don't increase your reach. Focus on working out what kind of content resonates with your audience. That's what really matters. If you would like to see this entire post for yourself, check it out in Adam Mosseri's broadcast channel. Unfortunately, I cannot link to it. And now let's move on to the TikTok news. CNBC is reporting that the TikTok CEO, Shou Chu, told employees yesterday that the company's U.S. operations will be housed in a new joint venture. The new entity is named TikTok USDS Joint Venture LLC, according to a memo that Shou Chu sent to his employees. As part of the new joint venture, the CEO of TikTok said that the company has signed agreements with 3 managing investors, Oracle, Silver Lake, and a company called MGX based in Abu Dhabi. The deal's closing date is January 22nd, 2026. The CEO of TikTok noted in this memo that the new TikTok joint venture would be, quote, majority owned by American investors, governed by a new 7-member majority American board of directors, and subject to terms that protect Americans' data and U.S. national security, end quote. So who actually owns TikTok and how much of it do they own? This is the next question. So it's a U.S. joint venture. 50% will be held by a consortium of new investors, including Oracle, Silver Lake, and MGX, who each own 15%. Just over 30% of the company will be held by affiliates of certain existing investors of ByteDance, and almost 20% will be retained by ByteDance, according to this memo from the CEO. The memo also said that the entity will be responsible for protecting U.S. data, ensuring the security of its prized algorithm, content moderation, and software assurance. The memo also went on to explain that Oracle, in addition to being an investor, will serve as the trusted security partner in terms of auditing and validating that it complies with, quote, agreed upon national security terms, end quote. Sensitive U.S. data will be stored in Oracle's U.S.-based cloud computing data centers, according to the memo. I will link to the article from CNBC with all the details so you can check it out for yourself. The head of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, was on a podcast where he was asked directly about TikTok, what they've done well, where Instagram has to do catch up, and where Instagram has done better than TikTok. Here's the clip.
You're being so kind of nice and even-handed with your rivals here. Like, what do you think is TikTok's Achilles heel? How are you going to beat them?
Ooh, it's going to be hard to beat them.
The United States government?
No, yeah, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. I mean, look, I think their rate of progress has slowed down. And I think in part of that was the distraction with all of the regulatory and policy concerns. So I don't think they have been making progress as quickly as they have in previous years, which gives us a chance to catch up on things like core ranking. I think we monetize way better than them, particularly if you look at not just revenue, but profits. But their revenue globally is doing really, really well. But on the profit side, I think we're pretty far ahead of them. Here's a big question is like, they are very much applying lessons they've learned in China to the rest of the world. And there's good and bad or pros and cons are to that. So one is the pro is they had a massive faith in the short form video format long before anybody else did. Musical.ly and the early versions of TikTok were not retentive and they spent billions of dollars a year dumping into promoting it, and it seemed crazy to the rest of the industry. But their faith, from talking to people at their competitors in China, came from the fact that they had proven the market in China, and they were confident it would exist elsewhere, and they just needed to keep pushing to get there. So on one hand, that's really interesting, right? That's them seeing into the future in a sort of other way. The flip side is, you know, the super apps, which are very popular in China, are not popular in the same way outside of China. And I think they're turning into a Chinese super app, TikTok is. And that may or may not work outside of China. And so, you know, now, are they overly projecting one win on the next? Or am I just, you know, a naive, out of touch Westerner who's underestimating where the future is going to be? Like, I don't know. But that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I feel like Instagram's too complicated, and I love TikTok. It's a great app, but it is really complicated at this point. And increasing the kind of crazy.
Okay. I'm going to check out the rest of the episode and see if there are any noteworthy parts to share here. If I do find them, I will of course play them on the show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Lauren at the YouTube team talking about the updates that they've been working on, including the YouTube Create app finally coming to iOS and AI in YouTube posts. Stick around. Welcome back. Here's Lauren from the YouTube Creator Insider team with what they've been working on. I'm going to speed up the clip and I'm going to cut out the parts that I think are not so interesting so that it goes a little bit quicker.
Welcome to the last newsflash of 2025. Let's get into it. In October, we talked about the expansion of our voice replies feature, which enables creators to reply to comments with their voice. We're happy to share that we're now expanding the feature to millions of creators. As a refresher, creators with access can navigate to one of their videos via the YouTube app, find a comment they want to respond to, tap reply, then tap the Soundwave icon, record a voice reply, and then post it as a comment. Or on Studio Mobile, click on Community and follow the same instructions. Voice replies can only be left by creators on their own channel via main app or Studio Mobile, and all viewers can engage with these comments. The max duration of a voice reply is 30 seconds, and creators will be able to listen to and re-record their voice reply before posting. We hope that the voice reply expansion enables more meaningful relationships between creators and their audiences. Moving on, we've heard feedback from our global community and multilingual viewers regarding preferences for auto-dubbing and making it easier to consume content in their language of choice. If you're unfamiliar, creators can use multi-language audio or auto-dubbing to dub their videos and make YouTube content more accessible to audiences around the world. However, to better serve our viewers, we're launching a new setting that manages translations for dubs, titles, and descriptions. Content with the original audio in preferred languages will not be translated and will default to the original audio. Viewers can update the preferred languages on web or in the YouTube app. Let us know what you think. Next, we talked about improvements coming to YouTube Create last week, and now we're happy to share that YouTube Create is now available on iPhone. We'll leave more information below.
Okay, I just want to pause it for a quick second and highlight what she said. If you have been paying for CapCut or you're looking for an alternative app for video editing and you want to get more into YouTube, it's nice that YouTube provides this Create app so that you can edit right in there and post directly to YouTube. Okay, here's the rest of her updates.
We're experimenting with showing image posts in the Shorts feed to help creators reach their audience with posts in a new place. Creators can include up to 10 images in their posts, making them a great way to tell a story. All image posts created through the Create button may be shown in the Shorts feed during this test. We know audio is an important tool to help you express yourself, so we'll keep everyone updated as we explore testing music with this experience. Next, Nano Banana, Google's image editing model, is coming to YouTube. Creators can use the feature to edit image posts and connect with their audience in new creative ways. With Nano Banana, you can edit images in your YouTube posts to transport yourself to different locations, try on new outfits, switch up hairstyles, or time travel to different decades. You can also remove a distracting object or change a background color by easily adding, removing, or modifying specific elements with just a prompt. Lastly, you can refine your aesthetic by restoring older photos or adjusting the vibe to match your channel's branding. Any images edited using Nano Banana will automatically show a disclosure that the content is made with AI. This will be available to users who are over 18 and in the US, Canada, New Zealand, and India. At this time, prompts must be entered in English. The team plans to bring this feature to more locations and languages soon, and we'll keep you posted.
Okay, I'm going to just cut in because she gives a bunch of updates that are not that interesting. But at the end, she concludes with a little bit about all the team has accomplished over the past 12 months, and I think that's a great thing.
Now, before we close out the year, I want to take a moment to look back. It's been a massive year for all of us, from Tidal A/B testing to Ask Studio and the Inspiration tab, to hype, to auto-dubbing, and everything in between. But more than the features, we want to thank you. This channel has always been an experiment in rapid communication, but it's the dialogue with this community that makes it meaningful. Thank you for your patience, your passion, and for keeping us honest as we navigate the future of the platform together. We're already heads down on the roadmap for 2026, and we can't wait to show you what's next. We've got a lot more in the works to help you grow, connect, and keep doing what you love. From the creators of YouTube to YouTube creators, thank you for a truly great 2025.
Okay, that is going to do it for today's episode. Be sure to come back on Monday for when we break down what the head of Instagram shared on his recent Ask Me Anything. As always, thank you so much for listening.
Let's get it. The year was 2013. You posted your first pic and you're glad you posted a scene. Your friends liked it too, but what you didn't know was what posting on that platform would do. Taking all your time and attention, doom scrolling, also let me mention. You gotta post on every platform, putting content on every set just to conform. Likes gave you validation and you got hooked. Now engagement is down, you feeling overlooked. Hey, keep coming back for more podcasts. And find me on Instagram at Daniel Hill Media. I'm gone.